If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And while you get there, I'm going to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, God in heaven, I ask you forgiveness all my sins and failures before thine eyes. Lord, the times I failed you, that you'd honor me with your touch, Lord, with your calling. Bless your sweet name. I ask you to bless tonight's preaching. Oh, God, bless your holy word. Let it affect us. Render a sweet fruit. Amen. And we'll stand here in a minute and read some of it. And before we get there, I'll just sort of lay out a timeline. And help if I get my notes out. Sorry, I'm nervous as a cat. Hopefully I'll settle down here in a minute. I didn't realize how David's life exactly went. I know he was a sheep herder and a bluegrass picker, or harp picker, and that he they were coming. Apparently, he was renowned for it, and because when the hand left, the hand of God come off of Saul, and nervousness set in. They sought through the land for someone who could play that music for him. And somebody said that Jesse had a boy who was, and I'm paraphrasing, talented at it, and that he was a man of war and a man of valor. He was known what he was going to be, even when he was still keeping sheep and playing the harp. So King Saul fetched him, and he'd play for him when nervousness set in and soothe him. And we know that, like a bunch of Baptists, when the devil stood up a shouting in that valley, they said he's been a man of war since his youth, and you're but a youth. Ain't that like a bunch of Baptists brag on the devil and tell the winning side they can't do it? And so, but sure enough, he said, "Is there not a cause?" And he believed if no one else did, and he slung that rock by faith. And then we know that they began to sing songs about him, and that jealousy set in old King Saul's heart because of the hand of God on David. And that I believe when he killed the giant, I believe he was somewhere between 15 and 20 year old. He was not in the army yet, which would be around 20. So I believe he was in mid to upper teens when he slew the giant. And then in the next few years, he would stay in Saul's house and jealousy would sit in and he'd be very uncomfortable and Saul would begin to try and kill him in every way he could think of. And he was very, just pressure was a building and he would try different ways to get the pressure off of him. He'd go see that old man of God that walked down that farm lane and anointed him to be king. And he'd get a little respite of the pressure when he went and seen him and Saul would send men to fetch him off that hill and they would get happy on that hill. And see, King Saul came himself and the Spirit of God was so strong on that hill with that old preacher that he couldn't do nothing that day. And David came on back to Saul's house again and pressure began to build again and sure enough him and Jonathan conducted their test in chapter 20 there and of 1 Samuel and it would show that King Saul was out to kill him no matter what and he would flee to Nob and then he would leave there and he's trying peace every which way he could. He would went to the prophet, and he got a little window of peace, Samuel. Then he went to Nob, where they sacrifices made and the priests. And then he would leave there and try the world, looking everywhere for peace when the pressure was on. And now, if you would stand to your feet, chapter 22. He quickly realized when he went to the world, he did not belong there. And now we have David, therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. You may be seated. So here David is. And he wanted the pressure to come off. And I tell you, the pressure didn't change. Saul still wanted him dead, but his perception changed. There is safety in a multitude of counselors, but there's one counselor over them all. He got down there and got alone with God. And that's where he learned to deal with his problems. Running to the preacher only helped a little while. Running to the house of God only helped a little while. And I assure you, running to the world will not help but for a moment. It's when he got alone with God that it began to help him. He got down there alone. You can read some of the fruit that come out of his alone time with God in Psalms. Some of them mascals as preacher been preaching on. But he got down there and praise the Lord. He didn't look like no king, but his brethren, his father's house, they remembered when that old hairy preacher man came. He was the walking Word of God. He represented the Word of God. And the Word, according to the Word of God, he was to be king of Israel. Didn't look like one, but they were there when that oil was smeared around that crown. You'll see that word got out and people began to believe by faith that he was the rightful king. It started with his family that were there. It says, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And then it said, everyone that was in distress, in debt, and discontented. These people had problems. We're going to read this text every night this week. Because I want, before we get into the glory, I want you to remember who they were. They were a people that were in debt, in distress, and discontent. Normal people. That's all the symptoms of conviction. And then they heard by the word of God that king didn't look like a king, but he was king, and they gathered themselves to him, and he became their captain. And so tonight, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on this thought, a loss of fruitfulness. A loss of fruitfulness. In the previous chapter, chapter 21, when David was trying to find an escape, he would go to the city of Nob. It says in chapter 21, verse 1, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And I preached a message here a few years back called Three Men in God's House. And I looked at the hungry man, the helpful man, and the harmful man. Ahimelech and Doeg were there. And he come to Nob. But Nob, I want you to know what Nob is. There was no tabernacle at this time, nor temple. And so you would go to the city of the priest, and they would sacrifice your lambs for them. They could not own land. This was a patch of ground in the territory of Benjamin. And these Levites lived there, these priests. And the city of Nob. Nob means fruit. It comes from the word noob, which means to germinate, to flourish. It means to bring forth fruit, to make a cheerful increase. It can also be used in reference to words that yield fruit. When you go up there to see what let's say the Lord, it's a well-referenced, it's fruitful. So he went to Nob. He went to Nob. And you'll find Nob mentioned four times in your Bible. It's mentioned in these two chapters both. And it's mentioned in Nehemiah 11:32 when the Levites returned to Nob. And then you'll find it in Isaiah 10:32. And it's in reference to when Sennacherib held the city of Nob, but it's in prophecy when the Antichrist is trying to hold the fruitfulness and the Lord comes back. Yeah. We're not going to focus on them tonight. We're going to look at the physical city of Nob, this fruitful place. So David went there, and for just to save time, he refused to be honest. The priest was afraid at his presence, it said, and he asked for bread, and he asked for a sword in the house of God, and that's it. He did not ask for any spiritual help, just wanted physical help. He would not get honest. He told him he is on a secret mission, not that he's running for his life. Now we're in chapter 22, and David, these men have come to him. And we're back where we just read, and it says in verse 3, and David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, And he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. God's given him resource. He got straight with God. Now he's got a little army. What am I going to do with our families? Well, let's take them down to Moab and see if they can stay here a while. Because by lining up with God, they've declared, lining up with David, they've lined up with God and declared themselves outlaws. Okay, are we with me? And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart. Let's see. And he brought them forth to the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, get into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Herath. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. Then answered Doeg the Edomite. Now Doeg means afraid, and the Lord wants us to know he's an Edomite. He's of the line of Edom. That was the nickname the Lord gave Esau when he would rather trade a blessing in for a bowl of red pottage. He'd rather feed his belly than receive a blessing. And this man is of that nature. He had opportunity to get right in the previous chapter, and he did not. This is a man of the flesh. And his name means afraid. So what we have here is we have this city, and we have a king who's not right with God. Anointed King Saul, and he would rather, here's the flesh available to him, and a fear generated by the flesh, Doeg the Edomite, afraid the flesh, which was set over the servants of Saul. Fear of the flesh, in the flesh had done climbed the ladder to be over all his servants. And said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. These are true, but the first part is not. He inquired of the Lord for him. This flesh is lying to this king. This king's already got a nervousness. He's already bitter. He's already jealous. So he's in a gullible state. And the flesh said, the priest inquired of the Lord for David. He did feed him and he did give him a sword, but he did not inquire God for him. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, Hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, Here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, Who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything into his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. So we've come to a crossroads. The priest of this Levite city and all the priests had come down at the bidding of the king, who's in a sore state. This anointed man has worked he's in such a state that he wants to believe the flesh. He wants to generate falsehoods. And this priest is telling him truth. And the king said, thou shalt surely die. He made a decision that day. He's presented with truth, but he would rather believe a lie of the flesh. He said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. These priests they've just been asked to kill has been the ones. See, Nob is more than just a fruitful place. Nob represents cavalry in your life. It represents, they'd bring their lambs, the bringing of their lambs to these priests to let the blood flow was the action of their faith that they believed Christ was coming to die. It was they believed that Christ was coming enough that they had raised up a spotless lamb and bring it. That's how much they believed. That was the feed on their prayers. They believed Christ was so real that they would raise up a beast, an animal, a lamb or a calf or a dove, and they'd bring it spotless to be bloodshed that they believed he was coming. These soldiers, this is where they came to remember Christ. And these priests were to remember Christ because he's our high priest. And the blood of the sacrifices to remember Christ. So he has just asked these men to blot out cavalry in their life. Are you with me? Kill these men that represent Christ. Kill the man that will kill your lambs. He's in a bad way. He's in such a bad way right now that he wants all churches to close. And him, a man that knows the Lord. That's how eat up with bitterness he is. There's a lot of evidence of bitterness when the previous chapter, when it said that Doeg was over his herds, you know you're in a bad way when you let the flesh in charge of your billfold and your sacrifice. He's in a bad way. He orders his men to kill him. He looked at that old priest and said, man, he's been keeping my heart clean since I was a boy. I can't kill this preacher, man. And then, but the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons. That'd be 85 that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep, with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. The two men responsible for the destruction of the place that represents Calvary in everybody's life, Doeg's the one that carried it out. But the two men responsible is David and Saul. See, David said, I knew it when I saw Doeg the Edomite. He saw fear generated by the flesh in the house of God and didn't do nothing. Too worried about his own skin. And then King Saul was so eat up with jealousy and bitterness against his brethren that he would turn the flesh loose on the house of God. Doeg had no power, the flesh had no power against this place until the two anointed kings of Israel both allowed it to happen. This fruitful place was torn down because of two handpicked of God's men not being sensitive. Are you listening? Doeg the flesh. Sinners are going to do what sinners do. It does not strike. And then, see, notice when the man eat up with bitterness and when the man that is so jealous that he doesn't care who he robs of what he robs them. When he orders the fruitful place destroyed, the flesh, when you give the flesh power, it will always take more than what you offered it. When he conceded to the flesh that it could cut off the priest, look how far it went. He said to cut down the priest. He did not tell him to wipe out the city. The flesh, if it is given opportunity and power, it went above and beyond and completely, utterly destroyed that city and the future priests and the priest sacrifice. If God's hand is on you, you know the Lord, but if you let bitterness come in your heart, David was, he was so worried he would not get, how was he responsible? He would not get honest in the house of God that day. He fibbed to the priest. This man is the man that make atonement for him. Instead, he worried about his own skin. He said, give me a weapon. Give me food. He did not mention his heart's condition. It would have been better off if he had have inquired of the Lord for him. So God would have given him proper direction. Instead, he went to Gath. Decisions, consequence. It's super sad, I know. But you see how these two leaders, they weren't servants those days, neither man. And it costed the generations to come this fruitful place. Nob was completely smitten. One man escaped Nob, Abiathar. He grabbed the ephod, shows where his heart's at. He didn't grab his children. He didn't grab his livestock. He said, I need to get a hold of God. He got the ephod. And so he grabbed the ephod and he got to David. Praise God, David's willing to admit. He said, I have occasioned the death of your father's house. He said, I've seen the flesh present in God's habitation, and I did not even speak up. It's horribly sad. As I studied the timeline of David, he was in his upper teens when he killed Goliath, and mid-teens, and he would marry Saul's daughter, and I don't know how many years he spent in the house trying to dodge Saul before he took off on the run. But he will not be king until he's 30 years old. So I believe a good decade of being an outlaw king. And in that decade, Saul would pursue. Shortly after Saul dies, David becomes king of Judah. So a decade is going to be of one bitter Christian, one bitter God's man pursuing another God's man. David ain't bitter no more. He got right. Look at that. What's a holding up the fruitfulness? These two chasing each other. And the whole time that city sits tore down. So for a decade, until he's 30 when he becomes king of Judah, There'll be civil war with the remnant of Saul's army for another 7.5 years. And then he'd be king of Judah and Israel. And then he would, so he reigned 40 years in all. And the first 7 was just over Judah. Best I remember, I wrote it down. So for a decade, Saul, it looks so small in 2 or 3 chapters, but for a decade, this man would not look left nor right for Philistines unless they pushed so far in that he had to turn from chasing David. This man was pursuing his brethren for a decade while the enemies of God grew and grew. Now the fourth place I found Nob. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 21. So that city was completely destroyed that day. And as we learned in Nehemiah, eventually somebody rebuilt it because the Levites returned in Nehemiah 11:32. But that was hundreds of years later. So here we are in 2 Samuel. And I found something. I wanted to know what happened to that city, that place, that fruitful place where men would come and be reminded of Christ and get their hearts clean and walk away feeling full, and it got destroyed. And then I found this in chapter 16. I told you 22. I meant chapter 21 of 2 Samuel, verse 16. 2 Samuel 21, 16. And Ishbi-benob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And Abishai, the son of Zerah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Ishbi-benob. As I was studying years ago, I was trying to study this man, this giant, and I found out his name means dweller of Nob. I had not studied Nob, so that didn't mean nothing to me at the time. And the Lord, I don't remember exactly when he reminded me, but he had me look at it again. And Ishbi-benob, it means his dwelling is in Nob, dweller of Nob. This, why King Saul was pursuing his brethren out of jealousy and bitterness, a Philistine giant walked in the ruins of a fruitful place and decided to make it his home. We know that King David would rule 40 years, and we know that for at least a decade prior, he was on the run from Saul, something like 10 years easy, because based on when he killed Goliath, and it had to be something like that. So for 50, the giant lived there so long that his name became Dweller of Nob. See, it's not just one thing to let bitterness or a focus on yourself rob yourself of your fruitfulness for the Lord and your children's fruitfulness. But nobody looked back there and a Philistine moved in. A giant Philistine. And here David is. This is his last public battle. This is the last time they let him go to the battlefield. I don't know how old he is, but so it's got to be near the end of his kingdom, I would think. Talking 40, 50 years that the enemy held the fruitful place. Are you with me? not just any enemy, a giant. The devil likes to use giants. You notice that in Peter it says that Lot vexed his righteous soul with what he heard and saw. That's what giants affect. Your eyeballs and your ears, they'll say, you can't, you can't, you can't, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. And you'll believe it. It was the shouting and stomping and parading that made Goliath such a bad boy. He was down there in the valley and he shouted against him. And the old Saul's knees knocked. See, we take our eyes off of him and we lose our fruitfulness. If the flesh will have sway. You give ground to the flesh, it will destroy your fruitfulness. It wasn't even real. He believed a lie. He believed the flesh. When people get church hurt, it's almost never true. It's almost never true when they get out of Nob, leave a fruitful place. I heard such, such say such and such. Very seldom did they hear it right. And if they did hear it right, the such and such was having a bad day. I know one lady ain't been to church 30 years because somebody didn't say hello in a funeral line. Tear down Nob, I don't care. No fruit for me, I've had enough church, bunch of hypocrites. They done, when they say bunch of hypocrites down there, that's the name of their giant that won't let them go back to fruitfulness. They let a giant of the enemy move in and rob them blind. We know he ruled 40 years. The giant was sitting down there in that fruitful place for the majority of that. This is his last battle. Probably the Nob incident probably happened early in the outlaw years. So this guy probably lived there. He lived there long enough to have the nickname Dweller of Nob. I wonder how many of us, maybe we didn't completely destroy Nob, but we don't go as often. We go often enough to feel okay about it. I ain't going to take my lambs down there. Here, nobody addressed it. It kills me. It's in the portion that belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. It is the local priest city for King Saul, and he would rather pursue a man that did no wrong to him because he believed a lie and let a giant move in. And then David, all them years of cleaning up the kingdom and he had become king of Judah at 30 after the death of Saul and Saul's boys. And then he would have civil war over Israel with his own countrymen, his own brethren for another 7. And then they'd finally reach peace and he'd be the king of both Israel and Judah. And even then it'd be at the end of that before he liberates Nob. His life's spent. Last battle. And he gets his fruitfulness back. It said, "And Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David." David's old and tired. Praise God, he's still on the battlefield. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. David finally liberates a fruitful place, but he didn't do it by himself. A younger man came up alongside of him and smote the Philistine and killed him than the men of David swearing to him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Bad decisions, believing a lie, robbed themselves of a half century or so, close to it, of fruitfulness, of sacrifice. Robbed themselves of remembering cavalry for a half a decade over some fibs and some flesh. That's the end of my message for tonight. I don't know what state your nob is in. Is it being used? I think it's interesting that in this reading we never find King Saul go there and take a lamb and get his sin off of him. Samuel warned him about being stubborn and rebellious. Same as witchcraft and idolatry. He didn't even go there to see the priest. He made them come to him. Don't let your fruitful thing, don't let cavalry be blotted out of your busy life. Don't let a misspoken word keep you from Nob. Remember the things that brought it on? David wouldn't be honest in the house of God. I wonder how the story had been different. That priest knew something was up. It said he was afraid at the meeting of him. He knew that he wasn't dressed for war. He knew that he wasn't armed. Instead, he was hungry and unarmed. And he wouldn't be honest. And now this priest is caught flat-footed. He told exactly what he'd done. And get pulled out of your job. That's usually the way it works on a preacher. Don't know nothing's a brewing, and then King Saul wants to see you in the office. What's going on? Ain't that your son-in-law? Ain't he your captain? So he killed the guy that had that sword. Little problems. And they didn't even look up, didn't use cavalry for what it's for. Everybody that went to Nob and everybody that talked to the priest in these two chapters, not one of them had a sacrifice made, walked away with a clean heart. David's planning on going to the world the whole time he's sitting in a pew. Oh, Edomite, Doeg, fear of the flesh. You could read his fate. It said he was detained before the Lord, it says in that chapter. God himself held him up. And you can read in Psalm 52, the Lord said he would destroy him forever. It's one of the men in your Bible where God, it ain't one of them funerals you preach where he said maybe he got right at the end. No, sir. According to God's word, he's destroyed. Right now, he's wishing he hadn't fed his flesh and that he got right with God, that he had borrowed him a lamb from King Saul. Don't let the devil or the flesh or the lies rob you of your fruitfulness. You be faithful to him and you keep going to Calvary and keep your heart clean that you can be of service. That's what I have for you tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for what you give me. Tried my best to deliver it. Amen.